Thank you, Lord, for these hymns that we have. Thank you for the many circumstances that gave birth to these hymns, for the folks that laid hold of your grace, found your grace sufficient in time of need. We ask you, Lord, to help us today as Christian people to also find your grace to help in time of need. Minister to us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, a great, great psalm. It starts out with somebody saying, "Rescue me, please." Psalm 31, we're going to find out the attitude of heart of this Psalm of David, Psalm 31. In verses 1 and 2, he just says, "Lord, please help." He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Kind of 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. "Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me." When it says "bow down thine ear to me," it's an anthropomorphism. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to pronounce it, so I won't say it twice. But it's a literary device that uses human-like characteristics to describe God. He's saying, "Please bow down your ear, Lord. Please hear me. Please hear me. Speedily deliver me, for thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. Thou art my rock." So here's a guy that's really in trouble. Now, what I want to do is, in just a little while, we're going to look together and find some attributes of God in this psalm. But before we do, I want to go through and listen to his, I don't want to put it lightly because it really isn't, but I've entitled it the boo-hoo section. Okay, and I say that, but now let me mop up and say, huge struggles, and you may find resonance in your life when you see some of the description of what this guy was going through. Let's look at verses 9 through about 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. He says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Now, what we're going to do tonight is I'm just going to look at some of these words. Of course, you know that the Old Testament, for the most part, except for a few portions in the book of Daniel, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And there may be one Hebrew word that is translated several different ways in our Old Testament, but it's the same Hebrew word, and they're translated using different English words to reflect whatever the context is, okay? Knowing that, when he says, "I am in trouble," the word "trouble" is translated in other places, distress. How about to bind up? "Lord, I am bound. I am bound. I am vexed." That's a description of how he feels about himself. He says, "Mine eye is consumed with grief, wasted away with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly," just a pit in his stomach, in his life. Terrible. Verse 10, "For my life is spent with grief." The word "spent" there, it's translated "end," like this is the end of my life. It's translated "finished" or "destroyed." Ever come to a place in your life where, man, this is it. This is the end. I'm at the end of my rope, and there's no knot to tie. That's where he is. "My life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength fails." It's the word "fail" there. Cast down, stumble, bereaved, decayed. My strength is decayed. As far as my personal soul strength is concerned, it is rotting. It stinks. What a guy. No wonder he's saying, Lord, deliver me. Because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all. Look at who he's a reproach to. Not just his enemies, but also his neighbors. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances even. What did these three groups of people do? They that did see me outside, they ran from me. This guy is so messed up. We dislike him so much that we avoid him on the sidewalk, if we could say it in modern terms. We don't want to go near him. People who know about him, people who know him, don't want to go near him. Just totally, totally forsaken by everyone. And then he describes himself this way: I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. The word forgotten means to ignore or to cease to care. Think about that. Nobody cares about me. Nobody. I mean, how many of you, maybe some of you have today, but there's maybe somebody in the community that died 6 months ago or 6 years ago. How many has gone to the graveside and spent time just reminiscing and grieving? Not very many, not very many. He says, I am ignored. Nobody cares about me. It's like a dead man. We hope they mow the lawn down there at the graveside, but that's about it, really. Our dear loved ones knew the Lord. They're in heaven, but after a while, the impact of their death often recedes, and we don't think about them every day. And pretty soon, how many of you older people have recently thought about your mama or your daddy, who have already died? Maybe you have. But not very many people think a whole lot about that. It's not that you don't care, but in the scripture sometimes that word is used for people just ignore, I don't care, put it behind my back, I don't even want to think about this person. Interesting. Forgotten. Then he uses an interesting picture here. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. When we were out west a number of years ago on a mission team, somebody took us out onto some private property in, I believe it was Wyoming. And we had to crawl through a barbed wire fence and go out there. And they showed us, believe it or not, they showed us some tracks that had been made by wagon wheels 100 years ago. Out there, the Oregon Trail. Very interesting. And, of course, we kind of walked along and looked, and we came across, I think it was an intersection where two trails would intersect, and often traveling parties would meet at these places, and they would trade, and they would do all that. And we looked around and we kicked around in the dirt and everything, and we found little broken pieces of dishes and things, just very small. They're probably at home someplace in the basement in a plastic bag, I don't know, but we picked up some stuff. He is saying here that I am like a broken piece of a dish of some kind. Nobody really, really cares about it. It's used in the scripture of instruments, like instruments in the tabernacle. Beautiful things that used to have beauty about them, but they're broken, they're cracked, they're set aside. He said, that's what I'm like. I am. So when you think about this guy, what's his, look at the next verse. Stick and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What does it say? Why do I feel this badly? Because I have heard the slander of many. He has been injured by people's mouths. Isn't it easy to injure with your mouth? a little word here, a little word there. What a terrible condition this guy's in. No wonder he feels so badly. Now let's go back through and let's look at the reason why in verse 23 and 24 he says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints." I thought he was in the pits. He was. He's describing himself. But he encourages us to love the Lord, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud. God's going, you know, he doesn't pay all his bills at the end of the month, but all these people that have slandered me and all of this wickedness taking place, God is going to take care of that. He's able to commit it to the Lord. And so what does he tell us to do? He says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We'll come back to that verse in just a moment. But now let's go back and let's look at some of the attributes, at least in the mind of the psalmist, concerning God. Look at verse 3, please. Thou art my rock and my fortress. God is, who is God? God is our safety. He is the one who gives us protection and all that we need in a rock or fortress. And then he goes on to say, and this is the attribute that I want to call to your attention, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. It's not just a matter, it's not all about the psalmist, it's all about God. Lord, for your name's sake, Lord, I don't want to be a bad testimony. I don't want to mess it up. For your name's sake, for your reputation's sake, give me guidance. Give me help. May people see you in me. The attribute of God there is his worthiness of my faithfulness, even though I feel like a broken dish. And even though people have ignored me and avoided me and everything. God is worthy of my being faithful. His reputation is important enough for me to be faithful. Think about that. God is worthy. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Obviously, God is merciful. Something else in verse 7 that I want you to see. For thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. God is omniscient. God knows. God knows the deepest hurts of my life and yours, the greatest fears, the strongest temptations. He knows it all. He knows all of it. He considers and understands everything. He knows. God is omniscient. But you know what? Sometimes we don't believe that. Where is God? He doesn't know about me. Psalmist had the same problem. Look at verse 22. What does he say? I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before his eyes. Oh, God doesn't know about me. Oh, God doesn't know. If he knew, he'd change things. We know doctrinally that's not correct, but from a practical, emotional standpoint, we find ourselves sometimes right where the psalmist is. Nevertheless, thou hast heard the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee, O love the Lord. Goes back and forth here, showing the soul struggles of the believer. God is omniscient. Verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. God is not just an all-knowing force out there. He is a person. We are created in his image. He is an individual. It's not, may the force be with you. It's not you are alone in this universe and there is sort of a benign something out there where I can say to myself, well, all things are supposed to, it'll all turn out someday. Well, Yeah, it will. But how about saying all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose? Rather than saying, well, things will work out. If it is to be, it will be. You know, all of these sayings that we have that, in a sense, when you analyze them, take away from the fact that he is my God. He is a personal God who loves me. No wonder the psalmist can say, oh, love the Lord. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. This speaks of the sovereignty of God. God is in control. God is in control of my life. My times are in thy hand. The first time I ever remember hearing this verse was in a prayer that my boss prayed one time. His name was Dr. Gustafson. He was the dean of fine arts at BJU years ago. A good man, a real tall, skinny guy, and directed operas and all that stuff on the one hand, but he might end up going down and preaching at the rescue mission too. He would be there. Just a very balanced man, extremely gifted. We were getting on an airplane to go someplace to do some special music, maybe it was to judge a music contest. I don't remember what it was. It was one of the school's private airplanes. And we prayed, you know, he prayed, Lord, our times are in thy hand. That's the first time. Do you pray when you get on an airplane? I know some people will pray and stay off of it. But, you know, he was saying, our times are in your hand. He was saying, God, you're sovereign. And to this day, I remember that simple. And that's what the psalmist is saying here about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He knows who the pilot is. He knows whether the flappers work on the wing. He knows whether there's enough fuel. And he knows it all. So I can rest in him. I can trust in him. He is worthy, he's merciful, he's omniscient, he's personal, he's sovereign, he's in control. Verses 19 and 20, oh, how great is thy goodness. He is good. Verse 21, he is kind. He hath shown me his kindness, and he is just. He will, verse 23, we talked about that already, he rewards. He's going to take care of the bad guys. He's going to take care of it. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to be God. I don't have to take vengeance. He's going to take care of it. He does some of it now through law enforcement and wars and so on like that. But ultimately, he's going to take care of all of it. He is a just and a righteous God. And I know that everything is going to be okay when God finishes. Meanwhile, I have to say sometimes, oh God, deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Let's look at that verse 24 now that I said I would look back on just a moment. Be of good courage. That word, the Hebrew word is about 200, I think it's 290 times in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's translated, be strong. So what is the psalmist saying to us? Be strong. Sometimes it's translated, repair. Let God fix you up. It's translated prevail. He's saying prevail, prevail, prevail. Be someone who gets through this thing. Be strong and of a good courage. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. And the word strengthen, interesting. Courage. It's even translated twice as harden. That's interesting. You know, sometimes we have to just, okay, I'm going to do what is right, whether I feel like it or not. Perhaps that's the sense of the word. Translated once, confirm. So, dear Christian, if you feel like a forgotten piece of a broken dish, oh, love the Lord. all ye his saints. How are you going to do that? How are you going to be of good courage and all that? By allowing yourself to be educated and consumed with the attributes of God. What God says about himself is indeed true. And in this case, he is your source of safety and strength. He is your God who is worthy of your faithfulness, even though you would like to run the other direction or rush out into sin or go jump someplace, go hide. He is worthy of your being faithful. He knows it all. He's omniscient. He's personal. You can talk to him. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's good. He's kind and he's just. What else do we need? That's why the psalmist can say what he says. So often do we not fail the Lord because we don't really allow who he is sink into our hearts so that we have the strength and the courage to move on. Psalm 31, a great psalm. All right, let's take our prayer bulletins and we'll briefly go over these things. I appreciate those of you that pray for my mom. My sister called today, just a little while ago, and she said, David, I talked to our mother today, and she is more clear than she's been since she went in the hospital. Call her, because I can't call her because I couldn't understand her. And so I got on the phone about 6:45 and talked to her, and she wasn't